are now listening to The Festival of Football, presented by Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another podcast, episode 3 of Festival of Football with Billy and Henry. Today, we are going to be talking about 3 topics. The first one is going to be the weekend league games, reviewing everything that happened over the weekend. Obviously, we have to talk about the Man United fans' protest. And then also, we're going to be doing a special little episode for the episode Tottenham-West Ham combined 11 from the season. So I think it'll be a pretty interesting podcast with Trinko.
Yeah, especially looking forward to the last part when we see the Tottenham 11 as the combined Tottenham and West Ham. Yeah.
I mean, we all know it's going to be mainly West Ham players in there. So anyway, did you watch weekend games, Bill?
I did, yeah. So we'll start with the Spurs game. Obviously, as I mentioned on the last pod, I'm quite pessimistic, and I went for a 2-1 win with Sheffield United scoring first, which was completely wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. Gareth Bale smashed in a hat-trick and Son scored a wonder goal. So, I mean, yeah, I completely proved wrong in that prediction, which is completely fine by me, because I said, as you said, it would be 3-0. You wasn't too far wrong on that.
What can I say? I know my football, mate. No, but seriously, Tottenham looked good. They didn't really have to get out of gear, second gear. You know, they had the game won. I think Sheffield United just, that Ryan Brewster, he hasn't got it, mate. He was letting them down yesterday a lot. You saw when they brought on the guy that we were talking about last time. We didn't know his name, but what's his name? Burke? Is it Burke?
Ollie Burke.
When they brought him on, they got into the game a little bit, but Tottenham just had too much on the day. And Harry Kane had an off day. So that was quite interesting. But yeah, I think Bale just showed his class at the end of the day. I mean, his hat-trick goal, top bins, amazing. Son, again, on his day, you know, he's just brilliant. So as much as I don't like him, you know, he gives me this weird vibe. I don't like him. He's banging in that goal. I mean, I loved it when he scored and he was offside. It was pretty funny, but is what it is. There's not much really to say about it. Tottenham just did what they had to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, we dominated the game. Sheffield United made Serge Aurier look like a prime Cafu, which was nice to see, given though he's been, you know, he's not our best player and we do need a right back. I hope that display doesn't, you know, show Daniel Levy that we don't actually need a right back when we do. It's Sheffield United. It's not a big game. They're already down. So yeah, please.
Well, I saw Bale's comments at the end of the game talking about, they asked him about, oh, Serge Aurier got you 2 assists or 3 assists or whatever it was. I can't remember what he got. And then Bale was like, yeah, he has to shut up going on about it over there. It's like, that was quite funny. But do you see that he also had a pop at Mourinho in the interview at the end, saying that now we can go forward and attack and stuff? It was like, well, okay, pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's not wrong, is he? Let's face it. We spoke about what Mourinho did to Joe Cole on the last pod as well. And, you know, to some extent, that's probably why Gareth Bale wasn't in the team this season, because he's more forward thinking than he is defensively. And we can see what he offers going forward, scoring a hat trick in the last game. He's, you know, come up with big goals in other games too. And we've seen through his career, he's not defensive minded. Look at the stuff he did at Real Madrid. I mean, you don't win 4 Champions Leagues, you know, and not be a good player.
I just remember that goal he scored against Barcelona in the Spanish Cup, when he knocked it down the line, run off the pitch, run round in a diagonal, beat the defender in a race, and then went on to score. And even like Cristiano Ronaldo's on the bench going crazy. Yeah, I think he's top quality. Do I think he's the Bale that he was years ago? No. But he's not going to stay, is he, at Tottenham? But I don't know. I just got a feeling he'll probably go somewhere like Man United after, like, when his contract ends or something.
Yeah, he'll go to a big club, a bigger club than Tottenham. And I think he does deserve it, like, given what he's won in his career. I think there's obviously a personal issue between him and Zidane as to why he doesn't get in that Real Madrid team. He's clearly, you know, a step above what they've got as well. I think if they had Bale and Benzema, they'd get to the, you know, Champions League final.
Mate, this is it. I mean, Zidane's Zidane at the end of the day, and he's a Real Madrid legend. So I think what don't help Bale is that he hasn't tried to learn the language. And in Spain, that's a big thing, isn't it? If you don't learn the language, the fans don't take too very well. But yeah, ultimately, Tottenham, good win. Europe probably secured for Tottenham, I think.
Yeah, Europa League, most likely, or this new Conference League that we spoke about on the last pod too. We'll either get one of those. And I read this morning somewhere that they're thinking of giving Ryan Mason the job full time. And I sort of sat in my seat and was like, oh, no, what are we doing? We can't do that. Like, I know there's not much options out there, but there's better options than that, as we've spoken about.
I've heard, who was it that I heard? I can't think of the guy's name now. It's really bugging me. Give me a minute. Let me think.
Not the Ajax manager.
No. I can't think who it was. It was an English league manager.
Oh, God, that says it all.
No, he's not English. I mean, he's from the Premier League, I think. Anyway, it don't matter. It's gone. If I remember it, I'll say it, but it's gone. But yeah, no. I've heard about Nuno's been offered by that super agent.
George Mendes.
Yeah, but it is what it is, isn't it? See that Fabio Silva scored again?
He did. Yeah, he did. And we know we
Fluky.
We picked him Fluky up in one of the episodes that we've done recently. And
I'm telling you, he's gonna be world class. World class gets thrown around a lot. You know, when I said the other day, you know, amazing players get thrown around a lot. What I meant was world class. When they say players are world class, that gets thrown around so easily nowadays. And I think he will be world class. It's going to take a few years. I just hope he don't leave the Premier League. I hope he stays in the Premier League. I think he's a Man United striker. There and then. Like, just looking at him, I can see him in a Man United shirt. But if he uses that potential and becomes what I think he can become, then yeah, it's just, you hear about it all the time, and players never, you know, get to that potential in the end. So it's just waiting to see what happens. What other games were interesting before I get onto the West Ham game? Do you watch the Arsenal game? See anything of the Arsenal game?
No, I don't really watch their games, if I'm honest. I don't even
know. To be honest with you, I only watch the Arsenal games to watch the Arsenal fan TV live stream. That's the only reason why I watch it, because it's just pure gold, mate. It's entertainment gold. Like, when you're sitting there watching Ty every single episode getting pissed off at the referees, and every time there's a foul on Arsenal players, where's the yellow card? Where's the yellow card? Where's the yellow card? And then when he does it the other way, he don't say nothing. And then you even have that main guy, Robbie, going, so what are you saying now? Why are you not saying the same thing? It's just funny. It's just funny, mate. It's just pure gold. You know, but it is what it is. No, but Arsenal looked good, to be fair. They did, once again, did what they had to do. I just hope they continue it when they play Chelsea. Not this weekend, next weekend. Because, you see, Chelsea have got City next week. And after West Ham's game yesterday, if they lose and we beat Everton, we're on the same amount of points. So yeah, if they drop any points against Leicester and Arsenal, and if we win our last four games, and Chelsea drop points against City, Arsenal, or Leicester, we get top four.
They will drop points. I think Man City will beat them in the league, because don't they need another win to secure the Premier League title? Or if
Man United, they do. Because Man United didn't play. If they beat Chelsea, they win the league, basically. I think a point might even do it. I'm not sure. But definitely a win against Chelsea gives them the title. The thing is, Chelsea have got Real Madrid on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then they play City. Then they play Arsenal. Then they play Leicester in the FA Cup. And then they play Leicester in the league. So it's not like a foregone conclusion kind of thing. They've got big games in between. So they're going to have to rest players. I was talking to a mate that's a Chelsea fan who listens to the podcast. And he was like, as soon as the gate West Ham game's over, I was texting him just saying, like, oh, you're going to get worried now. You're getting worried now. He give it all the big in that he's not worried, but he knows he is. So, you know, you're listening, Matt. You know, you're worried. But anyway, just wanted to say that, just put that in there. But let's get into the West Ham game, mate. Honestly, I don't know. I wasn't as nervous as this going into this game as normal. Maybe because I felt like top four was gone, so I wasn't really anxious or worried in any way. The game started, and when I saw the team, I thought, where's Ogbonna? Lanzini's in midfield. No, what's going on? Ben, and the lineup, the way it was lined up, Benrahma was playing left wing back. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with his team? And then when it obviously started, he only played four at the back, and then it was attacking. And Lanzini in the middle, mate, was the best thing ever. Because even though he's on the edge of his own box, he took the ball down. He just like nudged it past a couple of people. He was just calm. Can he do that against Everton on the weekend? I don't know. But doing it against Burnley, even though they, you know, they're a physical team, maybe that's even more impressive. And he honestly, Lanzini took back the years yesterday in that performance. He was amazing. Obviously, we went 1-0 down, Chris Wood penalty. Once again, I'm going to have to say it. I've been saying this for months. It was Diop. Diop's fault again. He's a weak link at the back. He years ago, he had all the potential and he was an amazing player. The thing with Diop is he tries to read the game and he makes these decisions and he commits to them. But the problem is, 9 times out of 10, they don't work. Like in the second half and the end of the first half, he was winning good headers and he was getting the ball away in dangerous areas, fair play. But before that, like I've seen him in games this season rushing in, trying to get the ball, but then they just spin him. They just turn him. And he leaves the defence unoccupied. That's why Dawson's not been playing as good as he was. Because with Ogbonna, he didn't have to worry about Diop. But with Diop, he has to worry and cover Diop's position, which made him score own goals. Because he was too worried about Diop and what Diop's going to do. He ain't worried about his own game. But with Ogbonna, it's like, you know what? I got the Don next to me. I can just chill. I can focus on my game. And that's what brought the best out of Dawson. But yeah, you look at Diop yesterday and the how he let the ball go over him. Chris Wood's in behind him. Chris Wood's slow as hell, but you let Chris Wood get in behind you. And then you slide to the floor. Like Thierry Henry even said it. Diop, why are you going to the floor? And then in I think it was in the first half, just afterwards, he did the same thing again, let Vidra go in behind him. And then Vidra did the little chip over Fabianski and they nearly scored. Honestly, Diop is dog shit. He is dog shit. He isn't any good anymore. I wish we sold him to Tottenham for 30, 40 million when they wanted to buy him a few years ago. He's just not good enough. He's not good enough. He's poor. But talking about someone that is good, Benrahma, mate. Honestly, you see that yesterday. He was better before he had these break for, you know, fasting and stuff. It was like as soon as he took on the fluids and stuff, it kind of drained him a little bit because he stopped doing all the good stuff. But no, honestly, all jokes aside, he's brilliant, mate. He's the player in our team that has the potential to go world class. Probably not at West Ham, but he's got all the skills. You know, he does everything in his own way. And the pass for Antonio, that just shows you the ball that he gave to Antonio to score the second goal. It's just amazing, mate. And then again, Antonio, you know, I didn't even know that he was playing yesterday. I thought he was out for the season, but he comes back in, scores two goals, should have got the third goal, but then he played the ball onto his own foot and stuff. I mean, we deserved the game in the end. We deserved the win. We played excellent. Our only problem was in the final third, we did the wrong thing. You know, we made the wrong pass or took too many shots when we should have passed it instead or didn't shoot and tried to pass it instead. And against a better team, we would have probably been, you know, punished for it. But to be honest with you, yesterday we played good. And that's what I'm saying. If we had Antonio against Chelsea, we would have been playing like that. And Chelsea wouldn't have, I don't think, would have been able to cope. I think we would have at least got a point out of that game. And it just shows you when you've got your best players in the team, it's what changes it. For me, I mean, Antonio was a bigger loss than Rice because he's so important to what we do. Why, you know.
And I think you've seen that in the last few weeks as well with him coming in yesterday. I said on the last pod, didn't I, that Chris Wood would score and it'd be 1-0. And I saw that Chris Wood scored and I was like, oh, I might get this one right for a change. And then obviously quite quickly after Antonio had scored and then scored again. So completely changed the game. And he offers you something that you don't have. And I know you don't have an out-and-out striker, but he's good enough to play as a centre-forward. I know he's predominantly a winger and, you know, he's got pace, but he's strong. He can hold the ball up. He's got decent finishing. I mean, he's probably the most overlooked striker in the Premier League right now Because there was playing for Jamaica, and you think he could be on the plane. Like people,
he's already gone Jamaica, mate. He's already claimed like Jamaica now.
And that comes down.
It's a loss to England.
Yeah, it is a loss. It comes down to being overlooked. And I think good luck to Jamaica. They've got a great striker, and they're, you know, building up their team for the next World Cup. And I think he will be a key player for them too. And he could have, to be fair, he wouldn't be a key player for England, but he could have been an option off the bench.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like the thing with Antonio, he doesn't know what he's going to do half the time. So how can a defender know what he's going to do? And that's what the freaking difference is. But it just goes back to England picking players with names. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick Calvert-Lewin because he looks more juicier than picking Antonio. You look, Calvert-Lewin's not done anything for the past, I don't know how many months. Now I've said that, if I'll score a hat-trick against West Ham on the weekend. But you know what it is. The thing with me with West Ham is they can play like they did yesterday. But then when we play Everton, I'm worried that he's going to go back into that defensive-minded shape. And I don't know, mate. Because it's West Ham, like you look at it on paper, you'd say, you know what? The games that Chelsea's got, the games that West Ham's got, top four's a cert for West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
They were near enough saying that on Monday Night Football yesterday. They weren't going to come out and say it because it's only West Ham, but you know, they were near enough saying it on there, like, oh, hey, you know, West Ham got winnable games, Chelsea, it's going to be tough, da, 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 da. But because it's West Ham, we could lose to West Brom, we could lose to Southampton. So it's never cert. I mean, I'm about 90% sure that we'll get Europe now. But because it's West Ham again, I can't say, yeah, 100% Europe. Because realistically, Everton's the only game that we should drop any points in, if you look at the thing. But then again, Brighton's our bogey team, so you know, it could be that. But no, I'm happy, mate. I'm really happy.
No, I think you'll definitely get some form of Europe this season. Whether that's the new Europa Conference League that we spoke about before, or it's the Europa League itself. The thing is, by the time you play teams like Brighton, they could be safe and nothing to play for.
Yeah, but Brighton's always a bogey team for us. I don't think we've beat them since they come into the Prem. That's how bad it is.
Well, yeah, but they say it's the first time for everything.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it the other day, you know. I was thinking, if we finish fourth in the Champions League, in the Premier League and get Champions League football, it's going to be hard because we have to qualify for the Champions League next season.
Yep.
And because we've never been in it, we ain't going to have one of them good like ratings. So we're going to be an unseeded team, and we're probably going to get a seeded team. So we're looking at, we might end up getting Ajax or you know, like a really good Spanish team or something to qualify. Then we're fucked, literally. So, I mean, it is what it is. But let's hopefully we get there first and
deal with the draw when it comes.
Exactly. Because even then, even if we went out, at least we were still technically in it, you know. And
well, if you don't get to the group stage, it doesn't count, really, does it?
If we lost that qualifier, we go into the Europa League, don't we?
You do, yeah.
Yeah, so safe, man. Top six privileges, you know. but it is what it is, mate. It's what it is. Yeah. Anything else you want to add on the weekend games?
No.
What did you think of the West Ham game?
I thought they did really well, to be honest. I saw flashes. I was watching the highlights on my phone. And like I said, when I saw Chris Wood score, I thought, oh, you know, I'm getting this one right. But yeah, I think you did what you had to do in that game. Like you said, I saw Diop's mistakes and I thought he could actually end up costing you here. But I think he was fortunate last night. I know he gave away the penalty and whatever else, but he was fortunate it didn't cost you points. So it didn't cost you 2 points or 3 points.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, the annoying thing here for me is Ogbonna's out again. And there was no news about this. Noble's out. There was no news about this. So obviously, maybe it's because that social media blackout, no one really knew about anything. But I'm hoping, because I heard that Declan Rice might have been back for last night. So I'm hoping that he just saved him for Everton. So I'm hoping that Rice is back for Everton. I don't know what Ogbonna's done, but I just hope it's not long term again. I hope Ogbonna's back. Because you look at yesterday, Cresswell was back again. And then balls, Safau as well, man. It's like they can just cross it on the wings and it's just superb. I think when they bought Safau, I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be one of these average players. And when he made his debut, he looked all right, but he looked a bit suspect in defending. But, mate, I think he's got to be signing of the season, even more so than Lingard. And that's in the whole Premier League.
That's a tough one. Yeah, I think he, yeah, like you said, on his debut, he just looked like another average player that you've signed. And now he's probably one of the most valuable players in your team. And I think he's up there with one of the, you know, top right backs in the league. He's probably not on Cancelo's level or Kyle Walker's level. Or
of course not. No, different players, mate. You know what I mean? They've got pace for days, and that's what gets them out of trouble, pace.
Mm-hmm.
But he's I don't know, mate. He's just brilliant for me anyway. And we bought him for like 5 million. Obviously, I don't want to sell him, but if we were to sell him now, we're at least going to get 20, 25 mil for him. So that's like a 20 million profit, you know what I mean? And for a club like West Ham, if we ain't going to get Europe, we're always going to be known as that sort of club. Because, yeah, we're in London and everything, but there's bigger London clubs. It's like, you like look at Newcastle. They're the biggest club in their area. And, you know, if they were, that's what, you know, get some Maximans and stuff, because they're the biggest club in their area. People say, oh, West Ham's in London, it's attractive. Yeah, but it's not as attractive as Tottenham. It's not as attractive as Arsenal or Chelsea. If we got into Europe on a more regular basis, that will change. Do you know what I mean? Especially as much as you say some people say they don't like the stadium and whatever else. I've been there a few times. I don't think it's that bad. It's not good for, you know, if you compare it to Upton Park, like you want to go get a pie or something, you can't. It's impossible. The queues are horrendous. The way it's laid out is horrendous. You want to get a beer, you can't, because it's like whatever. So you have to get like a lukewarm one that's left on the side that you've ordered before the halftime. It's just horrendous, man. But I don't think it's that bad watching it in the stadium. But players will like the stadium. They will really like it. But it's all that it's always that thing. We're always known as the fourth best London team, and I'm big enough and, you know, ugly enough to admit that. So it is what it is. But if we carry on doing what we're doing this year, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but letting Moyes build, you know, because when he came in, I didn't want him.
Yeah,
but he's changed my opinion completely, and. For me, when he was at Everton, he only had one bad season when they nearly got relegated. Otherwise, they was always in and up and around there. And I'm hoping he does the same. And we have to wait and see. But let's get on to, what can I say? The protest from Man United fans. We obviously spoke about Arsenal fans' protest before and about breaking COVID rules, obviously. COVID rules are less now, but still Man United fans did break them on the weekend. Me personally, I agree that they should protest. I agree that, you know, if you believe strongly about something in the world, that you should be able to have the freedom to protest. But what crossed the line for me was when they broke into the stadium, right? So that's one law they've already broke. They broke COVID laws. That's another law they broke. They've throwing things. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw the video of Jamie Carragher speaking to a, I don't know if it's a steward or a police officer that was in the stadium, and he had a massive gash all the way down his face where someone threw something at him. Now, obviously, it's not all Man United fans. Let's just get that out there. And no matter what you do, West Ham fans, Tottenham fans, if you get 200 people, you're going to have 50 people that are going to be dickheads. It's the walk of life. It's what everyone does. There's bad in everything. And that was my big gripe with it. Man United fans did an amazing thing. They got the biggest game in football called off, but they did it in the wrong way. They did the protest in the right way, but it got called off because of the wrong things, because of the violence. And instead of it being Man United fans protesting, got the game called off, well done for them, like Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher was trying to do, all Sky, you saw what Sky did. It gave them the thing that they wanted to get back on the broadcaster side and get back on the Premier League side by saying all the violence. And that took away from all the good things the Man United fans did because of the violence. So that's all you see now on the news. Man United fans turning over cars. Man United fans throwing flares at people, throwing glass bottles at people. Like, why do it? Why ruin this movement? Because that was such a powerful thing that the fans did by getting the game pulled off. But by then doing the violence, it makes it look like the violence got the game pulled off. So what is the point? Well, why do it?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I think protesting is fine. I don't have any issue with protesting in itself. But I think doing it now, number one, it's the wrong time because, you know, not that the media report it in the way that it should be reported. It's, they've broken, like massively broken COVID restrictions. You've had people sitting at home for a year. You've had people lost loved ones because of the virus. And now we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Who's to say, you know, there wasn't the infection rates in Manchester in 2 weeks' time are not going to be skyrocketing. And then Manchester is set back, you know, months and months of good work they've already done. And I just feel like the media doesn't present that. It presents them as like, oh, Man United fans got the game cancelled against Liverpool. And like you said, obviously there was all the violence to it as well, which I don't condone. I think it's pointless. But then you've got to look at the reason for protesting. The reason for protesting is they want the Glazers out. And they haven't liked them. A lot of Man United fans haven't liked them since they bought the club. But what they have to realise is your protests are going to do nothing. You're not going to achieve your aim of getting them out. They're not going to sell the club. You're still going to go to the Manchester United store and buy merchandise. You're still going to go to the games and buy tickets. Where do you think that money goes to? It goes straight into their pockets. So, you know, and there are a lot of United fans that, you know, don't buy the merchandise and they buy the, you know, the yellow and green kit to, you know, show their support of getting them out, which is fair enough. But
that's the way to do it.
Yeah. But what you got to realize is Man United make most of their money from overseas. And overseas fans will still buy the merchandise. They don't care.
This is it.
They couldn't care less.
You know what the board do? You know what the board have done? And Man United fans don't like them. But what they've done is they're good businessmen. Yep. So what they do is they've gone to every country and they have got, you know, brand deals for individual country. So in China, the kit's got a different sponsor on it than it has in England because it brands to the China market. Then, you know, you go to another country, it's got a brand that's suited to that market. Mm-hmm. They're smart businessmen. They know what they're doing. They've set Man United into a financial juggernaut, right? They've built them up into this franchise. They are a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about the football side.
No.
And why should they? Because they are making money doing this. And the only way you're going to get rid of them is if you have a multi-billionaire that comes in and offers them unthinkable money, you know, 15 billion, something like that, where they can say, do you know what? We'll take that 15 billion because we would have only made 15 billion over like 12 years or whatever it is. I don't know the figures, but it's like the same with Arsenal. This guy is going to come in and he's going to be better for Arsenal, you know, and as a football fan, you want him to come in and help Arsenal, but they're not going to accept 1.8 billion because they're going to make that in like a year or so, or doing whatever they're doing, because they're all American businessmen are smart. They're not stupid idiots, and they don't care about football. They care about money, and no matter what the fans do, it's not going to happen. Like you look at it on our level for West Ham, we don't like the owners. We've had this great season, so it's took the pressure off the owners, mm-hmm. but we don't like them. Man, being owned by a dildo shop owner, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But at the end of the day, he's a fan. They're apparently both fans. I know it's going to happen. They don't want to sell. So eventually, West Ham board can't sell because getting the Olympic Stadium rent cheap. They can't sell until I think it's 2022, something like that. But I've got a feeling he's going to pass it down to his son.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's done well with the West Ham women's, but I don't know. But
the thing is, with the Man United, you got to look at who in the world can buy Man United. So you get the Glazers out. In an ideal world for most Man United fans, they want the Glazers out. Fine. Let's have a look at who can buy the club, who realistically would buy it. There was talks before of a crown prince from Saudi Arabia. So you're telling me that you'd rather have someone who comes from a country where women are third, fourth class citizens. They've only just been allowed to, you know, be able to drive. And you would have his money, but you don't want the Glazers' money because they put debt on your club. What does that say about your morals? Like, are you going to protest against him? If they bring in this...
Do you know what it is, Bill? People don't realise, like, that it's like, I'd say only 10% of the Man United fans actually realise what they're talking about.
They
it's like most football fans are fickle. And what they'll do is they'll say something without even actually thinking about it. Nine times out of ten, there's probably something that I've said when I've said something just off the cuff, maybe that Eric Cantona comment that I made.
Yep.
You know, people were thinking, what a twat, what a twat. But it's something people do. You know, you just say things and you don't actually look and think about whatever, you know. And at the end of the day, that's what they're doing. They're not actually thinking about the good things. How much money do they spend on Pogba? How much money did they spend on Bruno Fernandes? How much money have they thrown at Pogba to keep him there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this, they don't see the benefits because they've not done it on the pitch. If Man United were winning the league every year, they wouldn't give a shit about the Glaciers. They wouldn't give a crap about them. They'd be like, yeah, it's fine. You know, keep doing what you're doing. The problem is they're not doing it. And they're looking over the road, Man City are winning the league.
Mm-hmm.
Then God forbid, last year Liverpool won it. So they're like, oh, we can't have this shit. We're becoming the joke club now out of the three of us. And that's where the problem comes. But I can see, once again, that it's their club. They're allowed to think what they want. Personally, it don't bother me if Man United have different owners or whatever. It's Man United fans. They can do whatever they want. We had some backlash from like our TikTok, you know, the official... Festival of Football podcast on TikTok. Follow us, guys, if you want. And we had Man United fans having a little, you know, like a to and fro with us. But the problem is if we believe something, it's our opinion. If they believe something, it's their opinion. They can do whatever they want to get their owners out of the club. But I think opinions have to be based on two sides. You have to be able to see the other person's point of view. So what they should be doing right now is saying, you know what, we don't like them because of this, we want them out because of this, but they did do this. You know, I think Man United possibly should get rid of them. Yeah, if I was a Man United fan, I probably would want them gone as well. But I can actually, from outside the point of view, you know, it's like anything, you take yourself out of the situation, you can see things more clearer. I can actually see what they have done as well. But it's just because the ball, but that's what football is now, man. Business is it's a business game now. It's all about money. And you're never going to get rid of these people.
No.
And if you get rid of one, you're going to get another one that's just as bad.
And the thing is, do the Man United fans realistically believe that whoever takes over the club is going to wipe off the club's debt? It's not going to happen. And the thing is, I'd ask any Man United fan, if you were the Glazers back when they bought the club, and they said to you, this is your money that you have in your bank, and you can either have this money and have the asset in Man United, or you can just have Man United. What would you choose if it was your own personal money? I know what I would choose. I'd rather have the asset and the money. It makes sense. And that's what, like you said, football is now a business. It's not, you know, people spending money willy-nilly. Look what happened to Leeds. They spent money they didn't have, and they spent 16 years in the Championship. And they was even in League One at a point. I mean, do Man United want to go down that road? I mean,
I think most Man United fans would go down just to get rid of them, mate.
Yeah, and then that's the problem, is that people have to understand that business works in a very different way now. Football clubs are a business. It's never going to change. Football's evolved as a sport. That's the way the world is now. And whoever comes in isn't going to wave a magic wand and say, you know, I've got all this money, there goes your debt. They won't do it. If anything, they'll probably add more debt onto the club.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get, like I said before, we were talking about this over the weekend, we will get a leverage finance and debt finance expert on the pod for layman terms to actually go through the technicalities of the deal. And then we can explain to people, this is why it had to happen that way. And I think once people understand that, they'll look and go, they didn't really have any other choice. But yeah, that's a discussion for the next pod.
Yeah, mate, I don't know. I just feel like I agree with the Man United fans, because I just feel like if it was me and my club was in the mess that they're in, I would do whatever I could to get rid of the owners. Because at the end of the day, they'd rather be worse off without the owners than better off with them, because they don't like them. And I get that, because, you know, I've been there with the West Ham owners. And I think that's what the problem is. But because we're from outside the club, we can look at it with more, with our heads than our heart, you know. And I believe that you know, they should be doing more, the owners. They should be, it's Man United, for God's sake. They should be providing more and everything. But I can also put the argument across, you know, that they have done things that haven't worked. They've just had the wrong people in charge. They've had Ed Woodward. He's a twat. You know, he what was it? He didn't want to bring... Who did Mourinho want, that defender that Mourinho wanted? And he said no.
It was Harry Maguire, wasn't it? He didn't want to buy... Mourinho asked him for money for Maguire and he didn't want to buy him. Because they had Lindelof and Smalling and Jones and Bailly. Yeah. And then obviously they bit the bullet and bought him a couple of seasons later, or a season later, after Mourinho had gone.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, isn't it? I mean, I can't say, you know, we can't really make comment on the fans and their passion, because it's their team, you know. And it is great to see that the fans are coming together, you know, to get rid of these, you know, greedy owners. Because if they didn't do this European Super League thing, do I think it would have been as big as it is? No. I think it's because they've done this European Super League and everyone can see what these owners are about. But deep down, we all knew what these owners are about. Every owner's. Daniel Levy's just like it. David Sullivan's just like it. They just want money and that's all it is. They make out they care about football. They care about the clubs. They don't.
They don't.
I mean, even this Arsenal guy that's going to come in, you know, the Spotify one.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me, yeah, He's only going to come in because he loves Arsenal. He's saying all the right things. Ultimately, it's about money. The players, it's about money. Football, it's just about money now. Kevin De Bruyne is on 400 grand a week, mate. 400 grand a week. I will never earn 400 grand in my lifetime. De Bruyne is on 400 grand a week. That is ridiculous for kicking a ball around. I saw a picture online. It says, Kevin De Bruyne, 400 grand a week, midwives or nurses, whatever it was, £13 an hour. Like, what the fuck? The society is broken when you put it into that. I know there's a lot of money in football and everything else, but still, honestly, I don't know. I think the Man United fans were wrong for not even so much breaking into the stadium, right? I get why they wanted to get in the stadium. It's what they did in the stadium that, for me, went too far. The power of getting on the pitch. Yeah, if you just got on the pitch, held up banners, and that was it. But going all around the offices, doing all that shit, jumping around, throwing things at people. You know, Graham Souness, if that beer can hit you in the wrong way, you could have bled to death. Like, I mean, a bit dramatic there, old Graham son, but still.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not. I mean, technically, if it did hit you in the right place, it probably could kill you. But yeah, it's a bit OTT, isn't it? And yeah, like
he
you said,
he had to get one at Man United.
Yeah, well, it's Graham Souness, isn't it? He's got an agenda against Man United, and he being a Liverpool legend and you know whatever else. But yeah, I think obviously you don't condone the violence. Let them protest. Do I think it personally will achieve anything? No, because
but it's their prerogative, though, Bill. Do you know what I mean? Like. If Tottenham fans thought, you know, selling Harry Kane is the worst thing in the world, and then they decided to protest and, you know, do everything to stop Harry Kane leaving, you know, standing outside his house so he can never leave. But if Tottenham fans decided to do that, as much as we'd think it's stupid, even though you're a Tottenham fan, that's up to them, mate.
As I
live life in this principle. As long as you don't hurt or break the law or impact anyone else, do whatever you want in life, mate. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, the definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again, and United fans have protested for a number of years and it's changed nothing. And, you know, if they want to protest again, if they want to protest every day, you know, that's fine. It's just, I don't think it'll achieve, my personal opinion is it won't achieve anything. And, you know, we'll probably be talking in a couple of years' time about another United protest against the Glazers, so.
Yeah, well, just so you know, Man United fans, I agree that you should protest. Billy's the one that doesn't, just so you all don't get on my back about it. But do you think they deserve a points deduction?
20 points.
20 points?
20 points. Like, because the thing is, if they don't punish them, let's just say, for example, you know,
it's gonna happen on Thursday with Arsenal. Arsenal fans are gonna try and get on the pitch, definitely.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you're then setting the precedent to say, you know, in a tough game, say, let's just say, for argument's sake, Tottenham need to go to Everton to win, like, to get into Europe next season or whatever it is, as a, you know, theoretical. But we've got Kane injured, we've got Son injured, we've got Lloris is injured, and Ndombele suspended. And then as a fan, you think, do you know what? If we break into the stadium, throw some bottles at police officers, we get that game cancelled, the players are suddenly back, and we stand a better chance. Like,
yeah, that's a fair point.
Now people will start thinking, and I think if they don't punish it massively, then we'll see more and more of this. And I think a 20-point deduction will take them out of the European spaces, and it will say to them, look, what you've done is wrong.
Tottenham more of a chance.
It does, yeah. It does. And West Ham, to be fair, as well. But I think fining them money is pointless, because we've mentioned it before, owners have deep pockets. If they fine them £1 million, what's that? Nothing. If they give them a points deduction and they're not in Europe next season, you're punishing the fans for the fans breaking the law. So I think it's adequate.
Yeah, I mean, this is more probably, this point deduction for this is probably more of a punishment that suits the crime more than the Super League thing, because obviously the fans didn't want that. So punishing them with a points deduction for that was quite unfair, because obviously they didn't want it. But they knew what they did. I think the only reason why the game got called off was because it broke COVID protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went all around the stadium, and apparently they got in the dressing room, even though Man United said they didn't. They were all in the upstairs offices, mate. So if they got in them offices, they got in the dressing rooms.
Of course
you couldn't then allow two sets of teams to go into there where there's COVID risk, and then they go wherever they go, and it spreads all around. Even though, as you said earlier, it looks like we've got the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, off football related, Boris Johnson said that there might not be any social distancing on the 21st of June from then, hopefully. Which would be great, because then you can actually... you can actually start touching people, but it was going to come out the wrong way. So I don't mean it that way, but you know what I meant. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. A point deduction, I don't know. I think maybe banning fans from the stadium when they're actually allowed to go back again to punish them. That might be more of a punishment that suits the crime, because they'll be like, oh, we can go back to games. Oh no, we can't, because we broke fucking laws when we broke in the stadium and injured the guy's face. And I don't know, mate, it's just, you know, the minority of people that do these stupid things ruin it for the majority of people all the time. I'm a West Ham fan, as everyone knows, and I hate majority of West Ham fans because of what they fucking do. You know, they do stupid things. I've seen so many things over the years, and I think, you twat. It just annoys me. And they're West Ham fans. And I honestly, it's just, it is what it is, mate. But, you know, ultimately, whatever we say is not going to change anything.
No.
But let's move on to the West Ham and Tottenham combined 11. The bit that's probably going to get a bit, you know,
heated.
I mean, unless you agree with me, it's going to get verbally heated. So we'll start off with formation. What formation do you think we should play?
Definitely some variation of 4-3-3.
Either
with a holding midfield player or a 10. Probably would make sense more to have a holding midfield player, because none of us really have a great cam.
I personally think we should play obviously goalie, 4-3-3. Two CDMs, one cam, two wingers and a striker.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, yeah,
that suits my narrative very well.
No, I don't mind that one. That's fair enough.
Brilliant. Okay, so we'll start off in goal. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of either keeper. Fabianski's all right, but he's not at that level. So I mean, I'm willing to concede to Lloris if you want, but...
Oh, Lloris, I don't rate him now, but he is a World Cup winning goalkeeper, so I think we've got to put him in, really.
Yeah. I mean, even though he tried his best to lose that World Cup final. Left back.
You've got a choice of Reguilon or Masuaku or Cresswell.
This season, I think Cresswell's been better, but I think Reguilon is probably the better player.
Yeah, Reguilon is the better player, but Cresswell is probably the player that's more in form at this moment in time. But I'm happy to go with Cresswell if you want Cresswell. I think Reguilon's good, but you know he's probably a more talented player. But if you, I'm going to get players on form. I think
that's Cresswell. It. If we're basing it off of form in this season, then Cresswell gets in. If we're basing it off of potential, then obviously Reguilon gets in there. So we'll go with Cresswell simply because it's what we think at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
For me, centre back, Ogbonna's got to be in there.
Yeah, he could be one of the two. I think Ogbonna and probably
I got to give Dawson a shout though.
He's done all right, but I think this is Tottenham's problem. We don't have great centre backs. I mean, if you're going to go on what they've done in the Premier League, you got to go with Alderweireld. But
yeah, I'm glad you said it because I can't say that then.
Yeah, we'll call him Toby. So I'd be happy to go with Ogbonna and Toby.
yeah, that's good for me. I'll take that. Right back's not even a debate. Sofal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't have a good right back. We've got Oreo Biscuit and Matt Doherty. So.
So Sofal's definitely in there.
Yeah.
Right, for the two CDMs, for me, it's not even a question. It's Rice and Souček.
I'd take Souček. Rice, I don't rate. I think he's very basic.
Mate, what the fuck? What is wrong with you? You don't rate Rice. Are you kidding me? There's no way Rice is not getting in this team. I don't care.
He's very basic. Like, I think the thing is, Souček obviously gets in because he's scored a lot of goals in the league. He's, isn't he one of your top goal scorers? Probably second top goal scorer?
Yeah, I think he, at one point, he was higher, but then Antonio scored goals against. I think he's gone back above him.
Yeah, so yeah.
I think it's like 8 or 9 goals. I can't remember exactly what the number is.
Yeah, yeah. So he's definitely nailed on. But who else could we put in there? So from the Tottenham aspect, you've got to look at Ndombele.
Nope.
And then you've got like the great player that is Harry Winks.
He can Winks off.
Yeah, we're not having him. He's not in.
Mate, I'm sorry. I'm not conceding. I'm not conceding. It's Rice and Souček. There's no better. Tottenham have got no better CDM than Rice or Souček.
I mean, that says a lot about our midfield, doesn't it? If we haven't got
the only one that comes close is what's his name? On Dembele.
Yeah.
But he's not done it this season. So for me, it's Rice and Souček.
Yeah, well, we'll go with that then. That's fine.
That's fine with me. Okay. Let me think. So, what about the right winger?
Bale. Has to be Gareth Bale.
Let me think.
If we're going on form, I mean, he smashed a hat-trick in at the weekend. You know, he's scoring goals for fun. He's dominating teams.
I'm just trying to think. Yeah, Bowen ain't really done much, has he? So he's done well, but he's not on Bale's level.
We've also got the GCSE Yarmolenko.
Fuck off. I'll concede to that. I think that's a good choice. Cam, Jesse Lingard.
On form, yeah, on form, definitely, yeah. We don't have a Cam. I mean, we've got Lo Celso, but. Yeah, or
I rate Lo Celso. I do rate Lo Celso, but he's not on Lingard's level.
No, not if we're going on form. Obviously, we've seen what Lingard's done to teams in the past few weeks and months. So yeah, he's definitely got to be in, isn't he?
Yeah, left wing, obviously. Son.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk for days about Son. That goal he scored against Sheffield United was a banger. You know, he's probably the best left winger in the Premier League, if we're honest.
Yeah, he's up there. He's up there. And then striker. I mean,
it's got to be.
I want to say Antonio, man. I really do. I really want Antonio, but you can't go against Kane, can you really? But
yeah.
I think Antonio's got to be. He's got to be given a mention. He's got to be. I've got to put his argument in there. You know what I mean? Like, it gives you something different than what Kane does. Kane's not going to run in behind. Kane's not going to, fight as much as Antonio does, and literally Antonio can drag you up the pitch. But ultimately, yeah, I'd say Kane's got to be there.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best, probably the best out-and-out striker in the Premier League in terms of ability. And I've said it before, I want him to leave, so it doesn't make sense what I'm saying, but I think out of Kane and Antonio, it's definitely Kane. It just has to be.
Fair play, fair play. So we've got Hugo, Lloris in goal, Safau at right back, Toby and Ogbonna in central defence with Cresswell on the left, which I'm quite surprised at. Rice and Suchek, CDMs. And then we have Lingard in cam. And then Bao and Song on the wings with Harry Kane up front. Mate, I think that team's sick. That wins the league.
Yeah, it's a good team. It's a great team, isn't it? And I think if you look at the bench options as well, you'd have Antonio on the bench.
Pretty much.
Who else will we get on the bench? Probably someone like Ndombele, like we mentioned, would be the sort of midfield option on the bench. Defenders on the bench, we might have maybe Sanchez or Eric Dier as like a utility man. I don't rate him, but he's useful in different positions.
Yeah, he's shit, mate. I'm sorry, but he's shit.
No, he's shit, but he's useful, isn't he?
You can have what's his name? Dawson on the bench. He's all right.
Yeah, Dawson as a centre-back. He's not the form that he's in anyway. I mean, I don't personally think he's a great player, but if you're going on form, he's played well, hasn't he? So,
well, this is it. I mean, he's got that. Oh God, he's got that. He's got the know-how how to defend well, and if you put him with someone that's good at defending, he's all right.
Yeah. And then obviously on the bench, like if you sub keeper, you got Fabianski. So.
Yeah, that's a good. I think that's a decent team, mate, to be honest.
It's not too bad, is it, really? When you look at it, you think, okay, yeah. On their day, all those players are great. Like, the front four is pretty good, I'd say.
Definitely. Yeah. And then you've got Rice and Suchek. You know, Suchek arriving in the box late, arriving at the right time. And then you've got Rice that's just, mate, it's just, I don't know how you can't rate Rice. What's wrong with you?
Nah, he's basic. He reminds me a lot of Eric Dier when Eric Dier was coming through, and we've all seen what's happened with him. Maybe he's like Gareth Barry. Maybe he's one of those players that goes under the radar, but is a quality player. But just because he doesn't do flashy stuff, and, you know, it's one of those things, like we said before, like Kante, for example, you know, everyone knows about Kante. That's a different issue, but maybe he does things that people don't notice, and he is integral to teams, but I just don't see it.
But this is it. I mean, I watch West Ham week in, week out. You probably don't see what Rice does. But you did see the run against Arsenal, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
That run that he did was just at the end of the game as well, like when you're knackered. He's vital for making last-ditch challenges. There was I think against Arsenal as well, he made the last-ditch challenge where they were going to score. He breaks up the play. And he just brings that reassurance to the team. So me personally, he's amazing. And I think that's why they're banding around like 80 million. Like West Ham saying they're not going to accept anything. The least they'll ever accept, probably 100 mil. Because they'll take less, but they know it's going to take a massive amount of money to get Rice to go.
Yeah, for sure. And in a COVID world, I don't think someone's going to pay that. And I think that's probably what's kept him at the club. And if you get this Champions League football...
He doesn't want to go, mate. He doesn't want to go. You look at his reactions when he was on the sidelines when we were playing a game and we were winning. He's like, he loves being at West Ham. You can see that. I'm not saying he's going to stay forever. He's not going to do a noble because he's not a West Ham fan. But he loves being at the club. You can see that. And I think we've got him for at least another 2 years. And if we get Champions League or Europa League and we add better players, it gives us more chance of keeping him for longer.
It does, yeah, but you need to achieve those things. And I think it depends on who comes in for him. I think, honestly, he will go to Chelsea at some point.
I think Man United's the place he's going to go. I don't think he'll go back to Chelsea because of what they did to him.
Oh, yeah, as a kid, yeah, I forgot about
that. They said, you're not good enough, see you later. And then he's gone to West Ham and proved that he's good enough. I think if he goes anywhere, it's Man United or Arsenal if they turn it around.
I can't see him going to Arsenal, if I'm honest. I think Arsenal are a club.
If Arsenal turn it around, they get this new geezer in and he brings back the Arsenal philosophy that they had all them years, they'll be a force again. And Rice sets in there. Rice is the sort of player that Arsenal need.
Yeah.
He's better than Partey.
I mean, anyone's better than Partey. I mean, Jesus Christ. He's been awful. He's been injured. He's got about two finishing. Like, you see the shots go over the bar, and it's like, why did they buy him? I mean, it was a strange signing in the first place. And then Arsenal fans were hyping them up. All of the Arsenal fan TV were doing the Doneo song where they're dancing around singing Thomas Partey. And, you know, what was that about? But yeah, I think, like you said, I don't think this new guy's got any intention of buying Arsenal. I think it's all hype.
Possibly. But there you go, mate. That is what football is, isn't it? All hype. Right then, mate. Well, I've enjoyed this podcast. I mean, we'll be back again. We're going to be doing a special podcast this week, aren't we? So it's going to be free. One and the special one's going to be on racism in football, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest talking point in world football at the moment. It's obviously a big societal issue too. And yeah, we'll come on to talk about the sort of the racial abuse that we've seen online too, and what online, what social media can do to stop it. So that's going to be a very interesting one.
Yeah. And then we have obviously our other regular podcast, probably that'll be coming out on Friday. So yeah, guys, there'll be a lot of content from us this week. Remember to follow us in the socials. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're now on YouTube. Yes, that's where we're going to be for all the clips of the shows, where you can see our beautiful faces as well, guys, not just hearing our beautiful voices. You can see our faces, which will be great too. So yeah, you can see when Billy makes his controversial comments, you can see his smug face when he's doing them.
Yeah, I guess the only reason more people will join in is because, you know, looking at me is quite pleasant, isn't it? So
he's a smug bastard, guys. Don't listen. He's a guy that was born and bred a Cockney, but he's the furthest thing from a Cockney that goes, mate. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Yeah, people say that I'm posh, but I can't see it. There we go.
Yeah, well, there you go, mate. That's it. Well, that's been our episode 3 podcast, guys. I hope you enjoyed it very much. And until next time, it's a goodbye for me. It's a goodbye for Billy. And we'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
To the Festival of Football podcast, presented by Henry Barrett and Billy Harvey. We'll see you on the next one.